Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Isaiah 43, 1b through 3a. Welcome to Orphans No More. I'm your host, Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans Ministry. Our guest today is Deborah Jones, founder and owner of Parent Intervention and Training based in Texas. Parent Intervention and Training provides a clear path to lasting behavioral transformation and deep healing for parents who are overwhelmed and exhausted by the complex needs of their children. They specialize in training parents of children who've experienced risk factors such as neglect, abandonment, abuse, trauma, or substances in utero. If you are a foster or adoptive parent, you know what I'm talking about. So welcome to the show, Deb.
Thank you. It's such an honor to be here.
It's an honor to have you with us today. You've written a book about your family's experience with childhood trauma through your adoption journey with your son, Dane. I've read the book a few years back, and it was something I just couldn't put down, and it resonated with me. The name of the book is God, Are You Nice or Mean? Very interesting title.
And yes.
So we'd like to start to encourage foster and adoptive parent listeners to pick up a copy of this book. You can find it on Amazon, wherever books are sold. But Deb, let's go back to your story and share your family's story with us.
Well, thank you. I know that is an interesting title, God, Are You Nice or Mean? And I guess you have to read the book to understand all of it. But we started our adoption journey, unlike many today, there was no foster care adoption large movement going on within the churches, but I was a parent of a one-year-old, and at the time she was a year old, I had a severe health crisis, was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis as a 27-year-old mother of a one-year-old.
Wow.
And that is not how we saw our young adult life journey progressing, but that's what happened, and I was in a wheelchair, and paralyzed on one side of my body and seeing double, and it was a crazy time in our life. And at that time, they used to tell MS patients not to risk another pregnancy. And so it did all go into remission, and I was very grateful and praising the Lord. And a couple of years later, my daughter was 3, and we were thinking, well, maybe they were wrong. I'm doing great. Maybe a pregnancy wouldn't hurt. And so we were kind of, you know, I sort of had that I am woman, hear me roar thing going on. I'm a hard-headed Italian, you know. So I was ready to have another child. And yet I had the fear that this could possibly exacerbate an MS exacerbation. And so our friends had recently been to Romania. The plight of the Romanian orphans at that time was all over the news. And we prayed about it. We felt led to go with adoption to complete our family. And I had a master's degree in special ed, and we kind of laugh now and say, you know, we prayed about it, and we felt God led us to the stress-free route of international adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, adoptive audiences just roar with laughter because it has been anything but stress-free. And so I usually follow that with you're kind of, you know, listening to a self-professed idiot with a master's degree in special ed. Because I thought my special ed training, all I knew about behaviors and tough kids and kids with disabilities would be all I would need, and love in a good home. And that's about all we knew at the time. We fell in love with a toothless little guy. He was 11 months when he came home, just 3 weeks short of his first birthday. His name is Dane, and we adore him and do to this day and did it that day. And he was very behind. He was very malnourished, starving little baby from a Romanian orphanage, a baby hospital, actually. But it was just like an orphanage, 30 babies to one worker kind of setting. And we brought him home thinking love and a good home would make all the difference. And my husband and I were both school teachers. Surely two Texas school teachers can handle one tiny orphan from Romania, right?
Right.
But by just a few months in, he was making progress. Walking and talking came quickly. And so we thought we were hitting the developmental milestones. And we both knew a lot about child development. We thought we were okay. that by two, we knew we were in trouble. By age two, his terrible twos turned into terrible threes. And, of course, all my friends were saying, oh, Debbie, you had that sweet little girl. Boys are different. And I'm thinking, yeah, they came maybe with a few demons or something. I don't know. This is really different. I feared we were heading for some serious special education labels, possibly psychiatric labels. By four, we were begging our pediatrician for answers, and we went the psychology, psychiatry, neurology route. We tried everything known to man. His behaviors were extremely severe. A tantrum was a full-blown meltdown that could last 2 hours with biting, hitting, screaming, raging, blowing snot on us, you name it. Really extreme, out of control, threatening to kill us at a very young age. Once tried to throw himself out of a moving car on the freeway. He was just so really like psychotic raging. And some of that was actually from the medicines they tried to help us. So we did not fare very well with anything the professionals were advising. And it got really, really bad, really feeling impossible to lead what we considered a normal family life. Today we joke and say normal is a setting on our dryer. We don't know what normal is.
Yeah. Wow. So how bad did it get for Dane and for your family? And how did you get the help that finally really worked?
It got severe, very severe. We use the term, and Karen actually picked this up, Karen Purvis, that it was the intensity, frequency, and duration that made it so abnormal. One of the things that would just infuriate me, and I hear other adoptive and foster parents say the same thing, is people would say, well, all boys do that, or, you know, my kid does that too. And we're like, yes, but not for 3 hours where you're having to, you know, hope that someone in your family doesn't get hurt, really hurt, where you're fearing, man, is he going to grow up and kill us all one day? And you're not playing. You're not exaggerating. It's very severe. It's so insanely out of control, and any type of traditional behavior management does not work, and it, in fact, makes it worse. And so here we came, both being school teachers. We had a pretty authoritarian style, pretty high structure, but before we knew it, I became really permissive, and my husband became more authoritarian because I sort of developed this walk on eggshells, don't set him off. Because guess what? You guys set him off, Mama's got to deal with the aftermath. I'm going to be 3 hours into this deal, you know? And so I became too permissive. My husband would sort of let me lead that way till he'd had enough, and then he would blow up and things would be worse. And I don't mean hurt him or anything. It just was crazy, insane. And you couldn't go to family events. We'd try to go to our daughter's volleyball game, and it led to a crisis for Megan. And so before we knew it, really all four of us, I would say, were experiencing sort of a post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, Dane came to us with all of his issues. He had full-blown fetal alcohol, which we did not know at the time we adopted him. And so we were trying to learn about that. And he was a very special needs, cognitively low child, as well as all these behavioral attachment, sensory processing issues, and you name it. And so it was a crisis for the whole family. And we really had a turning point when Megan was about 14 and Dane was 11. Again, we're still having these violent rages. So we're 10 years in now to our adoption, and our life is chaotic. We are broke. We're two Texas school teachers that have spent every dime we have, still in our little starter house we thought we'd be in, you know, for just a couple of years. And we had moved because all of our money, time, energy, it felt, was going to trying to help Dane heal, you know, and trying to get our family to have some sort of normal life. And one day in particular, Megan had a meltdown, which was very out of character and unusual for her, and she just blew up and said, I can't handle this anymore. You know, what are you going to do? He's getting too big. Mom, what if you have an MS attack and all your MS comes back because of this, which miraculously it had stayed in remission at that time, but it was sort of saving up for a later day. And, you know, she was so embarrassed. You know, what do I do when my friends see all this at my volleyball game or my dance recital? And I can't live this way anymore. I want him out. I want him out of here. It's him or me. I want him out of here. And by the way, what happens when you die? Do I get stuck with all this?
Wow.
I mean, she was throwing some pretty heavy crisis questions at us. We were all in crisis, and we were bawling our eyes out, and we went to our counselor who did specialize in reactive attachment disorder. We now feel a much more respectful term is complex developmental trauma. Mm-hmm. We're very sad that didn't make the DSM-5 manual, but which is the psychological manual for all these psychological disorders. But, you know, we just think the reactive attachment disorder label has got such a bad rap that there's no hope. You can't turn it around. This is, sometimes we even hear, this is a kid without a conscience. I don't believe that. We're created in the image of God. We have consciences. All kids have that. It's that this kid is so afraid, and he's learned these strategies from his complex developmental trauma. And so we were dealing with his trauma, but we were also dealing with our secondary trauma. And I would say our whole family was in a severe crisis. And we had met Karen the year prior to this through the Hope Connection Camp at TCU, the late Dr. Karen Purvis. And so when this crisis hit, our counselor was recommending we residentially place him outside of the home. I was grieving as though there had been a death, literally. I couldn't imagine placing him somewhere else. He was 11, but he had special needs. He was really more like a five-year-old. And I had always promised him we'd never give up on him. I couldn't imagine him going on without us or us going on without him. Mm. Excuse me, I have to use my Karen Purvis magic mustache here, but it gets emotional because he was so little, even at 11, he was big enough to hurt us. He was so little emotionally. He was a little baby still. In many ways, he hadn't learned to attach. He cognitively was like, you know, a first grader and not able to read, and he just wasn't progressing in academics. He emotionally was all over the place. We didn't know what to do anymore. We were afraid for our family's future. I would say we sometimes, you know, one of our biggest mistakes was we parented out of fear, but it was very scary. Our whole family was in a crisis, and it became a marital struggle. It became a spiritual struggle. I'm screaming at God. God, are you nice or mean? And it kind of takes us to the title of the book. Dane used to say to me, Mommy, are you nice or mean? I don't think I was really a mean mother, but I'm sure in my exasperation, when I raised my voice, I looked mean to him. He was a little kid.
Right.
And so I became just like him. I was like, all right, God, what is it? Are you nice or mean? I've been praying for healing for years. Where are you in all this? I thought you led us to adopt this child to complete our family. I wasn't trying to be some big superstar rescuer. I just wanted to complete my family. And why won't you help us? I felt abandoned by God. I was pretty much shaking my fist at him saying, okay, you want me to feel abandoned? Fine. I'll be like Dane. I'm a spiritual Dane. You know, I'm abandoned by you. And that's kind of how I felt at that time spiritually. And God had a lot of healing work to do. And at one point in our journey, this was probably more over marital struggles than kid struggles, but I ran to my grandfather. We called him Papa. And so I ran to my papa level, my mom's dad. He was 100 about that time. And I was like, why are we even here? And without missing a beat, he said, to love and be loved. And I held on to that, Sandra.
Yeah.
And that's all I could do.
Mm.
I could just try to figure out, how do I love and be loved on this very, very hard journey? Was I going to lose my marriage? Was I going to lose our home? Our finances, our debt, was my daughter going to somehow run away from home just to get out of this chaos? I didn't know what to do. And so I might have given you more of how bad did it get, but that's how bad it got. It was a severe crisis until, thankfully, Karen Purvis came in intensely, in an intense way.
Now, Dr. Purvis, at that point, was just really doing her research and putting together this whole, what we now know as TBRI, Trust-Based Relational Intervention. But this was before there was even a name for it, and she actually came into your home, correct?
Exactly. We called her the Child Whisperer. We had several names for her. Saint Karen. She had a way with kids like we had never seen. But not only that, she had a way with parents like we had never seen. Because we had heard everything from, you're too strict, you're too lenient, you're too this, you're too that. Why don't you this? Have you prayed for him? We're like, really?
Yeah.
You know? Yes, all of that and then some. You tried a couple decades. You know, we just didn't know what else to do. And so Karen came in and did this home program with us. She knew we had actually, with the help of our counselor, made the decision that it's time for him to go to a residential treatment center. And I want to say right here, we don't condemn or misunderstand any family who has made that decision. There are times when you have to get your family safe, and that may be the only option. We were there. We had the paperwork filled out. He was going to start with weekend respite to give us a break, and he was soon going to be moved to full-time residential care. However, she said, why don't we try one more thing? Let's see if we can intensely just sort of wipe the slate clean and start over. Let's start over. And remember, we didn't have trust-based relational intervention. This was, she had the ideal response in place. She knew high structure, high nurture needed to happen. She knew a lot about attachment. And so we, with a team of professionals, literally stopped the world. I took a leave of absence from my job. We decided to basically redo infancy forward with a raging 11-year-old. Mm. And she came and advised us, along with some help of some other professionals, and we developed this high structure, high nurture model, much of what you see that is now trust-based relational intervention, which is her model she developed and wrote her book about along with David Cross. A lot of that was hammered out around our kitchen table in trial and error type approaches that we were doing with Dane. And so Dane had to be very close proximity to us, really within about 3 feet of us, during all waking hours. And we met every need, and we worked with him consistently, and we stopped the violence. We gained back parental, healthy parental authority. We avoided the too permissive. We avoided the too authoritarian with an attachment-rich, sensory-rich, sort of redo infancy mentality to meet his needs, give those 100,000 yeses he missed that first year of life. Baby cries, mama meets need. Baby cries, daddy meets need. We did that intensely. There was a lot of play. There was a lot of role play. We developed things like wrong way, right way practice, the practice, the behavioral skills he needed, but we also worked very, very much on relationship. How do we keep a secure attachment forming? How do Alan and I become securely attached as parents so that we can practice these trust-based strategies with our child? I would say we worked as much on our own selves as we worked on our child. And for 4 months, I took a leave of absence from my teaching job. I filed Family Medical Leave Act. That was definitely not in the cards as far as something wise to do financially. We would not have said that's a smart thing to do if you had seen our debt from the past 10 years of trying to survive on this journey. But God provided miraculously in ways we didn't expect. Friends came through. The school district, who was not supposed to give me leave, allowed teachers to donate substitute days so that I still had some income for part of that time, a good part of that time, actually. And we made it. I mean, we never missed a meal, that's for sure. You can look at my pictures. I put on a few pounds probably from eating too much chocolate. But it God provided. And the changes that happened were nothing short of miraculous in our mind. Now, it was not a quick miracle. Let me say it was more like an exodus from the wilderness. It was not quick. It was not easy. But this model, this trust-based relational intervention model, is simple. It is a relationship model with high nurture, high structure, and this approach to deal with kids who have these very, very difficult early risk factors of abandonment or abuse or trauma or substances in utero. And parents come to us often looking for a behavioral model. But they soon learned this is a relationship model. Mm. And Karen used to always say, you know, kiddo, there's all kinds of parenting models out there, behavior models, if you want to call them that. And most kids, when they know they're safe and they know they're loved, they're going to fare pretty well. So parents may say, hey, you know, I got spanked. It didn't hurt me. Well, maybe so. However, kiddos who come with the kinds of histories a kid from an orphanage or a foster care or an abusive situation comes into our families with, they don't fare well with just any old parenting model because they didn't have that first year of life constant of affirmation that you are precious and nothing will change my love for you. They didn't have that.
Right.
So we have a very narrow window of the kinds of parenting models we can choose. And some parenting models are too structured Many of the church's models, I would say, are really high on structure, a lot of rules and regulations and do's and don't's, and the Bible says, and please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying we should not teach the word to our kids. We must. However, if we use it like a weapon to correct their behavior, it's not going to be interpreted well from a kid with this kind of history.
Right.
So many of those models are very high structure and low nurture. And there's some other models today that are very high nurture and low structure. And the value in TBRI, trust-based relational intervention, which I just called trust-based parenting. I think I coined that term when he was with us. Trust-based parenting is high in nurture and high in structure with the compassion that these kiddos come to us with a different brain. Mm. And we have to regrow a healthy brain. And we have to be healthy as parents to do that.
That is so true. I just want to remind our listeners that this is Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, or orphan ministry, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. My guest today is Deborah Jones, adoptive mom and founder and owner of Parent Intervention and Training. They specialize in training parents of children who've experienced risk factors such as neglect, abandonment, abuse, trauma, or substances in utero. If you are an adoptive or foster parent, you understand the difficulties in parenting kids from hard places. Deb, you and your husband, Alan, established Parent Intervention and Training to help families in a similar way that your family was helped by Dr. Purvis. Share with us real quick here what your organization offers to struggling families.
Okay, I certainly will. You can check us out at parentintervention.net. We offer phone consultations, and sometimes groups of phone consultations. If you're far away and you need lots of those appointments, we can talk on the phone, Skype, that type of thing. We offer in-home intensive interventions. People, and this sort of just evolved. We didn't really intend to do this, but we were helping families locally in Fort Worth area. And before we knew it, somebody said, hey, if I buy you a plane ticket, will you come? And I said, sure. And so you can fly us out. And we actually have well-trained other parent trainers that we have trained and are continuing to train to go into the home, usually 3 nights, 4 days, could be 2 nights, 3 days. We stay in a hotel nearby. It is a fee-based service. This is we've done up 2 teaching jobs to continue to do this, so it does still have to put beans on the table, so to speak. So these are fee-based services. We offer parent training workshops, very intensive, you know, how to work with trauma-informed care approach to parenting, how you work on yourself to be able to sustain this hard parenting journey. And we even offer vacations. I mean, we're trying to help parents have what we wish we had had. Enough respite to stay sane on the journey. Enough, and we don't provide the respite, but respite opportunities for parents where they come, have a getaway, also get parent training. We offer parent training hours of credit for foster families. And then we will go into the home and work intensely with families. And we do some free stuff. This is a business that feels like a ministry. And sometimes people confuse it as a ministry, but we are believers, and so I write a free blog, or sometimes one of our parent trainers or Alan will contribute to that. I have a mom's group on Facebook dedicated to self-care. It is called Mom First, My Oxygen Mask First. And as I was toying around with the My Oxygen theory, all of a sudden I realized My Oxygen Mask calls Mom. Mm. So that's our group, Mom First. You can find us on Facebook, My Oxygen Mask First. And I'll let you in if you're a mom, and just it's to encourage self-care. We have to stay healthy to stay on this journey.
That's right.
So we are trying to offer what we wish we'd had and help people on a journey that a lot of professionals don't even understand.
Yeah, and you've also got a parent training respite getaway in the works for 2018 in New York City here on the East Coast.
We do. It's so exciting. I couldn't believe when I found out you were from New York.
Yeah.
It's so funny how we start working, and before we know it, it's sort of like God's going, here, let's work on this little area of the map, because we have that going on. I'm going to be sharing with a group that's having a camp in Maine, and so we're real excited. So in spring of 2018, this is in the early planning stage, but if you want to sign up on our email list, you'll hear about it, and I know, Sandra, you offer to continue promoting it throughout the year for us. But we are looking at a Northeast Coast, hopefully maybe even New York City, in spring of 2018, which will be a getaway. Parent training will be taught. But our getaways also include time for restoring and reviving and rekindling that marriage and time to fellowship and play with parents who get it. They're in the same boat. They understand. So
that's right.
Stay tuned. We're going to the Northeast in 2018.
Oh, and I will
and
be
we're
there.
We're going to do it during the spring when school's still in session. So it's still in session. Excuse me. So hopefully we don't, you know, kill grandma if we need child care. We can, school can keep them during the day and grandparents and friends can watch them during the evening so parents can get away. We think that is vital to keeping the family healthy.
Wonderful. So as we wrap up, I do want to ask you this. I want to make sure that we check in on how is Dane doing today?
Well, that's true. I really didn't finish my story. So today, Dane is almost 27. He is independent with support. We call it scaffolding. Dr. Cross, I believe, coined that term that we sort of scaffold these kids like a building that's not quite done. And he lives in his own apartment. He cares for his loyal dog, Hershey. He's a great dog daddy. He has a job. He is a courtesy clerk at a grocery store. In fact, he's starting at a brand new grocery store in town. He's so excited about that. And he's active in our church and community, and he still has to eat alcohol. He's a very disabled child. He can still get dysregulated, but his parents have learned not to pour gasoline on fire, and that makes all the difference in the world. And he doesn't get violent anymore like he did when he was a kid. He gets mouthy, and then we know he's afraid. He's insecure. He needs more scaffolding, and we put a few of those logs back in, and we hold him up and get him through. And then when he's calm, he's remorseful, he's repentant, he comes around. He gets right back on track, and I'm telling you, the kid could teach trust-based parenting. He knows it forwards and backwards.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing your story, Deb, and for all that you do to help foster and adoptive families in crisis.
Thank you so, so much.
Thank you. To learn more about Deb's work, visit her website at parentintervention.net. Visit her blog on their website and check out her Facebook page, Mom First, My Oxygen Mask First. You can also get the full story of her family's journey in her book, God, Are You Nice or Mean?, which you can find on Amazon. If you are a local foster or adoptive parent here in New York and are interested in learning more about TBRI, Empowered to Connect training. My husband and I are Empowered to Connect parent trainers. We offer a 9-week class, which is like total immersion in Dr. Purvis's work in empowering and connecting in the TBRI that we were talking about today. You can contact me through the JFO website. And we hope you like today's show. If you would like to listen to more episodes of Orphans No More, you can find them on our website at justicefororphansny.org. Just click on radio show and you'll find a menu drop down and you can choose the show you like. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.